What's up, sports fans? Welcome to Sports Odds and Ends, your show for the fly-by-night sports fans, for the few of us that are still out there. We're still in the midst of our COVID-19 shutdown for most sports. So a lot of these stories are kind of just more of our odds.
Yeah, we got breaking news. Breaking news. Cass.
Oh, no, that was just me forgetting to turn my phone on.
All right. No sports news. We're all on edge waiting for sports news.
Waiting just at the edge of our seats. Actually, that was a League of Legends thing, just to say that their servers work again. Because for everybody who's been staying home, yeah, they've been playing a lot more video games, which has been stressing out a lot of these video game servers more than I think these people thought they would ever have to worry about.
Well, everybody's coping in their own special way.
If they're trying, man, we're out here trying. So let's get into the stories for this week. So one of our first ones up is the XFL, the darling that it could have been, the darling that it would have been, the darling that it isn't. The XFL has suspended all operations and laid off most of its workforce.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think. They shut down the league earlier, but this is kind of the official. Okay, I think we're done here. And they said that they have no plans to return in 2021, and everybody except for a small handful of executives has been laid off. The fact that they're keeping those executives around is at least a decent sign that eventually they will come back. But it seems this is the end for the foreseeable future, at least for this year and next year. And
I don't know if this I don't know if this is going to end up being something that, from a fan perspective, they can come back from. It'll definitely take another buildup. And I understand that it's probably primarily due to the COVID-19 thing, because we were seeing relatively good numbers in viewership and other things. We don't know how merch sales necessarily were doing. But this is definitely kind of, like, a lot of people have taken this as the C, they couldn't survive. And I don't know if I want to take it that route, because I think there's some very big circumstances as to this than there is to them not being able to be a product that can compete with the NFL.
Yeah, they, at least by all accounts, the actual announcement, the internal announcement from the league sent to all the employees, they were saying that this has nothing to do with you guys and the job that you guys have done. And I think they even used the phrase like best launch of a sports league ever. But they can't continue to keep paying people throughout this year and next year. So or at least paying people to not play and not conduct games. While some of these other leagues have big pockets that they can do that with, the XFL doesn't, even though I think they said they had enough money to keep the league running for 3 years, assuming that they were playing. At least that was kind of the talk when it was being compared to the AFL, the AAF, which didn't even have enough money to do that for a full season. I think it's very clear that this is pretty much entirely due to COVID, that sucks, but also I think the league proved a lot of stuff during its initial run, and I think we were kind of justifiably excited, and I think we're kind of sad to see it go. But for the brief time I was here, I think it helped prove that there was a niche there that mm-hmm. needed to be served, and they did a pretty good job of serving it. And hopefully in 2 years we'll see it start back up again. And probably with a whole new set of staff. But other than that, maybe it won't be quite the same, but maybe it will. So that's a 2 year long wait and see for us.
Yeah. Going on from there, let's talk about some Wimbledon news, or lack thereof. So Wimbledon canceled its tennis tournament this year, obviously. But this is kind of a big revenue loss for them.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just to give you an idea of like how much leagues like might stand to lose, from not holding events. And I guess like a lot of these are kind of opportunity costs, but some of these are losses due to like a whole, you know, a booking venues and stuff and not being able to hold them. Well, I guess Wimbledon is held in the same place every year, and mm-hmm. And the All English Lawn Tennis Club, you know, this is part of their revenues. So they're estimated to lose $250 million in revenues from not being able to hold this event. But turns out they actually are the only league that has paid for pandemic insurance, which they added in 2002, and have kept up every year with the payments on that since. But in 2002, they added that due to SARS and all the fears that were coming from that. So they're actually going to get $114 million from that. So that'll take the sting off of those $250 million losses. So at least they only lose about half of what they thought they would. That's, you know, that I guess the only sports league to have that kind of foresight available. And so I guess I don't want to say good for them, but I guess better for them than for everybody else, to be that prepared about it. At least they're more prepared than a lot of governments were. The NFL draft is still scheduled to go on. It's April 23rd through 25th, which is next week, and they've got to change up the way they were doing things. I think it was scheduled to be held in Las Vegas, which was probably going to be this massive party 1 week before all of our friends were going to head to Vegas for a little mini convention. But now they are switching to everybody operating from home. And on top of that, like no, they want to set a good example for everybody else. So like no teams are going to be congregating in their own offices. So like no more shots of like the war room where, you know, you have like all the team executives and the coaches sitting in one room, high-fiving each other after they make their picks. We're not going to see that anymore. Everybody is, every executive, every scout, all of them are going to be at their own individual homes, and they have to communicate with each other over the phone or over video conferencing software. I guess no word yet on how they're going to announce the picks, but I'm sure ESPN can come up with something, and NFL Network as well. So, whatever they come up with, I think it'll be a nice, it'll be like a little mini oasis in a time with no sports. They're still going to try to replicate the whole green room feel of like you invite a bunch of people to attend the draft, quote unquote, attend. But instead of, you know, being able to walk up on stage and shake the commissioner's hand now, all these different invitees are going to have to be at their own homes, and we're no more shots of like the whole family just reacting and hugging and all that. Everybody still has to be 6 feet apart, no more than 10 people per room. All of those restrictions that we're sick of hearing by now, but are necessary. So the league wants to abide by that and not have these big gatherings that, you know, can be blamed on them. Hopefully this is just a 1 year thing, but it'll be interesting. I think the draft is one of those things that didn't need to be as big of a spectacle as it is, but the NFL found that if they if they stretch this into this 3-day spectacle, that they've been doing, it's wildly popular. It gets great ratings on TV, and it's a big, huge money making thing. And then in recent years, they've taken to turning it into a traveling circus with a different city hosting the draft every year. I think last year it was in Tennessee and it was pretty successful there. Next year it's going to be in Cleveland. And so the year after that, it hasn't been set in stone yet. So maybe that'll give them a chance to bring it back to Las Vegas to make up for not being able to do it there this year.
Yeah.
They had big plans this year. They were going to do the red carpet at the Bellagio fountain. It's probably going to be this massive party on the strip and, a massive advertisement for the city, a big advertisement for the NFL, as well as just being the normal ratings bonanza that it was. Unfortunately, they can't do that this year. But everybody's making sacrifices and at least they're finding a way to still do it. And they're not half-assing the restrictions either. They're taking them seriously and trying to protect the health and safety of their scouts and employees. All those guys have had to research all these draftees without being able to bring them in for workouts. This is going to be a very interesting draft to look back on in 10 years or so and think of it as the COVID draft. DGM is pointing out that some players have had like virtual pro days where they've conducted their own workouts and had to send video to the different teams. They've had to do interviews over Skype and Zoom and all the different video conferencing software that's out there. It's a very different feel. And I wonder if, like, you know, 5 or 10 years, we're going to look back and see whether this draft was better because teams aren't able to conduct their normal bullshit, or worse, because teams were not able to scout as well during this one particular draft. So, one thing that's also been, like, physicals have been an issue, especially like if you are an injured player, like Tua Tagovailoa. Just not being able to, I think he's managed somewhat, but I think he's also failed a couple, I guess, virtual physicals. I'm not entirely sure on how he's conducting it, it's just a weird time for everybody. And I think it's affecting the players that were relying on some of these scouting, these normal traditional scouting events to be able to show off what they can do and show off that they're okay and physically okay to play. It's been a little tough on those players. So we'll see what kind of effect it has on their draft positions. With the rookie salary scale set in pretty much set with just a little bit of wiggle room, you can pretty much tell when a player doesn't get drafted where you expect them to get drafted. You can tell kind of how much money they lost by that fall. So we'll be able to even quantify how much of an effect this had.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like it's going to, I mean, all of this is going to have an effect on everything, right? That's kind of everything we're talking about, is all these effects from this, and then they're forward, right? Like, it's just, I don't know, it's going to be so interesting to see how all these things are going to affect when sports do get an opportunity to come back and work out again, and people get to do the things that they've been training some people their whole lives up until this point to be able to do. Going on from the NFL, we're going to talk about a little bit of the goings on with the UFC, which has been one of the few sports things that have been trying to go on in despite of all the COVID-19 like fiasco. But they've finally, with pressure from ESPN and the state of California, have decided to start canceling. Well, they canceled UFC 249. That's kind of the big thing. But now they're looking into some ridiculous options to possibly keep this going.
Yeah, they've actually canceled the last couple events, but they were one of the last sports to hold out. And I think there was just some pressure placed on them to protect their fighters and the other trainers that they need. I think they held one event without a crowd. And then after that, they kind of decided, okay, we're just going to cancel the rest of these events. They want to go back to that. UFC 249 was scheduled to be held at the Tachi Palace Casino Resort, which is located on tribal lands near Lemoore, California, which is kind of near Fresno. I've been there. There's not a lot of people there. I think that's kind of the idea. It's in a somewhat remote area, and they're not going to bring fans in, so it's not going to be as much of a potential outbreak zone as it would be if you had a bunch of fans, if you just had fighters and then just a select few personnel with them. Then maybe you're only gathering like 100 people into one building instead of thousands. But there is still a little bit of a worry. So California, which has been taking this very seriously, and has kind of led the whole social distancing charge, or at least they were the earliest to adopt some of those measures. I think the government is very cautious to do anything that would break that after everything has been relatively successful with that. And already Khabib Nurmagomedov's fight with Tony Ferguson was changed after Khabib could not make it to the U.S. or after it was pretty clear that he wouldn't be able to travel to the U.S. And then on top of that, Rose Namajunas has had two COVID deaths in her family. So she had to pull out of the co-main event with Jessica Andrade. So the fact that, you know, we've already had two main events changed, main events for this particular UFC event changed due to COVID. I think it's kind of a sign that maybe you shouldn't hold this event. Also from that, you know, you got the government pressuring Disney, which then pressures ESPN, which then pressures Dana White to not hold the event. Yeah, so they're kind of approaching this as, you know, we've got this whole everything set up, all the logistics set up, and we're just on standby. And once you guys are okay with us holding this event, we'll hold this event. But Dana White has also claimed to have secured a private island to hold fights for international athletes who cannot get to the U.S. And would normally have to go through, you know, 14-day quarantine if they entered the U.S.
Guys, so now, I'm sorry to interject here, but I feel like we, at least just for a minute, have to point out the fact that this story is really compounded with the fact that Dana White, president of the UFC, was going out of his way to secure a private island on international waters to hold a UFC event. And I feel like the absurdity of this brought on by COVID-19, the fact that a fight promoter was going out of his way to go onto international waters to secure a place for a fight card, a promotion, a show. Just the sheer absurdity of this, because it is literally a movie plot. It is literally a fighting game plot. And it is absurd and just unbelievable.
Isn't that specifically the plot of that first Street Fighter movie?
It's literally that plot. It's it's the Kumite. It's Bloodsport. It's the first Mortal Kombat movie. As we all know, Shao Kahn did cancel the tournament because of COVID-19. But just the sheer absurdity of this, literally going onto international waters to hold a fight because of the outbreak.
Buying an island, or as they say, securing an island to do this. Like, what does that even mean? Like, that, yeah, that is straight out of just some fighting game plot line. Like, next thing you know, all these guys come back with weird powers, and like, nobody wants to talk about it. We only use it for fighting each other. Some real Highlander shit.
Yeah, it's everybody's coming up with ideas. Everybody's desperate. I think it seems like everybody just wants to be able to call themselves the, you know, the first sport that's back. And because I think they also see like the dollar signs, like the first sport that comes back is going to be the only sport that's, you know, and not counting esports, but at least the first traditional sport that draws in, you know, millions upon millions of viewers that comes back is going to have the entire sports audience watching. Like, I don't watch baseball that much, but if baseball were to come back, I would watch it, even if I object to the circumstances. Like, I would probably watch it just because I'm that bored. And
well, speaking of, let's talk about some of these ideas baseball has for coming back.
So one of them is the kind of the Arizona plan, which is so Arizona is a common spring training location. A lot of teams congregate over there, and a lot of teams also congregate in Florida. But one of the plans is, since they have so many baseball facilities in Arizona, is to just have all the teams come to Arizona and then stay in hotels over there and only travel from the hotels to the stadiums. No fans, no 7-inning games, and just like play a bunch of games and just broadcast them all, and you know, do some special things like miking up the players, put an electronic strike zone so that the umpire doesn't have to stand so close to the batter and the catcher. You know, limit the amount of mound visits and stuff, just to keep people apart from each other. And, you know, put the players up in the actual stands instead of in the dugout close to each other. Basically just, it seems like a workable idea. except for the fact that all these players are going to be away from their families for like 5 months or so, and they can't go visit them or anything. Like they have to stay, they have to stay isolated from everybody else to maintain quarantine. So and on top of that, like they'll probably have to do like very rigorous testing and repeated testing to make sure that that nobody in this isolated bubble actually gets, you know, ends up with the virus and then ends up spreading it to everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's logistically it's going to be a tough plan, but it's you can kind of see the path or where they're headed. The other major plan is instead of having everybody in Arizona, have all the Florida teams play in Florida as well, the quote unquote Grapefruit League instead of the Cactus League in Arizona. And then they would, at least for the official season, they would reorganize all the teams based off these Arizona and Florida divisions, and conduct a one season this way of close to 162 games and just a different alignment of divisions. But this might be a little bit tougher since all the Florida spring training locations are actually scattered throughout the state of Florida instead of kind of in the same area like the Arizona leagues are. So yeah, a couple ideas that would be tough to implement. I don't think they're going to be able to pull these off without somebody getting somebody catching the virus at some point and spreading it. And then so it just seems like, to me, like, not to be a naysayer, but it just seems like they're gonna start this. It's gonna be okay for a month, and then somebody's gonna catch it, and then their reaction to this is it's just gonna be to shut the whole thing down. So we will have started up a league and then stopped it, only to stop it within a month, just the PR criticism that would come from that, and come from the teams choosing to endanger their players like that. I just don't think it's worth it. But maybe that's just me. Over in the Chinese Baseball League, one of the teams, the Rakuten Monkeys, who play in Taiwan, they've got a plan to make it less weird that they don't have fans in the stands, and they're planning on dressing up a bunch of mannequins with team colors and just have them up there holding signs and doing other things that you would normally see fans do. I don't know if they're actually going to move or the term they're using is robot mannequins, but I don't know if they're going to be actually robots or just mannequins. But it's still, I don't know how much less weird this is going to be, whether it would be better to just see empty seats or the seats with fake fans in there. I know the WWE has been holding events without fans and it's just been eerily quiet.
I understand that, like, they're trying, but I think the thing that makes the WWE thing weird to me is that they still have people doing crowd work as if people are there.
Yeah, that's been weird.
I know there's a certain degree of sell the kayfabe, but I think in a sense I'd be so much more interested if they were still doing it, but they lived in the script as, you know, though the people weren't there and they were still doing it in a sense, you know, like the whole thing about wrestling is the storyline and the story you're telling through the matches and through the mic work and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, rather than pretending like it's not happening, which I guess to a certain degree is trying to just, maybe you could say like, oh, you know, they're just trying to give people an escape from it. But I don't know, man. But it's just weird. I'm going to just stay there. It's just weird.
Yeah. I don't think we need to do this whole thing where, like, we are going to hold this event and help you forget that you're in the middle of a quarantine. Like, I think everybody knows, everybody's okay with it now. Like, it, this is just the normal state of things. And it's like, we can hold an event and you can have fun during this event, but we're also not going to pretend like, I think it would be better if teams didn't go out of their way to just pretend that, that everything is normal. Like, you don't have to go that far. You can just show that you're trying to hold an event and that's good enough. And the thing is, I think moving on to our next story, that Seton Hall University did a poll where they polled 762 different American fans of varying degrees of interest in sports. But some of the responses that they got were pretty interesting. Mostly, I think these results show that most of the fans are being pretty cooperative with the whole situation there. It sucks that we don't really have sports for the time being, but most of them are understanding of the situation. 76% of fans say that the league shut down at the right time. They kind of only, this was all, like, I still think that this was all pretty much sparked by Rudy Gobert. And in a way, Rudy Gobert is kind of an accidental hero in all of this, because if the leagues hadn't shut down at that time, who knows how many players would have caught this? Who knows how many fans would have caught this? It's 76% of fans agree that, you know, all the leagues made the right decision during that one 24-hour period where most of the sports world shut down. Regarding sports that are kind of scheduled to start up in the fall, 70% of fans say the NFL should not start up if we're still under social distancing guidelines. Even if the fans aren't there, but, you know, they shouldn't start up to ensure player safety. That's 70% of respondents. And then, 20% say they should start up, but allow players to choose not to play. 46% of the people that responded are thinking that, you know, like, through the end of 2020, we might not have sports at all. But if we were still under social distancing guidelines, 72% of fans say they would not be comfortable going to a game if we did not have a vaccine for coronavirus available. And I think that's certainly understandable. I was surprised to see that the number was that high, but I think that should be a wake-up call to the leagues that, like, no, don't start back up early. Don't try to bring in fans into your arenas and stadiums early, because most of them are too scared to do that right now. I haven't really thought about it myself. Like, I've paid for all these season tickets, but if the NBA were to start up again in June, would I feel comfortable going? And I think the answer might be no on that. So despite all this, 59% of fans say that stadium workers should still be paid. So at least it's nice that fans as well are looking out for the people that normally would have to serve them and that have lost their jobs throughout all this.
Because I think some of these people, you know, are the people affected by it, right? Like, some of these people, one, are the people affected by it. Two, you want to see something come back, but you want to see it come back in a sense where it's actually going to be the right thing, as opposed to sports coming back and then getting shut down again because the cause was somebody had it and they didn't know, or people don't want to go into these situations unsure. And I think the general fear-mongering that we get from the news has kind of reached people. And I think for once it's not just fear porn that the news is getting to spread. They have to spread actual news of this, and some of it just falls within those guidelines of what the news likes to do. But I just think people are just in general taking a better understanding of what it is and what to do with it in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of adjusting to a new normal, and I think you know, outside of the initial reaction, I think everybody's settled into, okay, this is how things are, and we understand that things have to be this way, so we're good with this. We'll see in a couple months whether everybody goes stir crazy or not, but for now, I think everybody's okay. You know, everybody misses baseball. Everybody misses, you know, basketball and hockey seasons that got cut short. But we'll find a way to cope, and everybody's trying different things, even if they don't have to actually bring their league back. It's, you know, we're okay with watching, we're okay with watching esports. We're okay with watching,
Marbles racing,
our favorite players playing the digital version of their physical sport. We're okay with all that. Let's just ride this all the way through, and take this seriously. And
I think when we get to a point where people learn how to make content that is outside of the content that they're used to making, I think we'll get a lot of interesting things, right? Like we could get a lot more of ESPN doing those kind of tape breakdowns that they were doing with like John Gruden and stuff like that with other coaches or players or things like that. You can make a whole series out of something like that. You can make a whole series out of like anything that is learning or showing or promoting the game without actually playing the game. Like, there's so much that just jumps into my brain that I'm sure people who understand how to make those kind of content decisions and put those kind of things together could easily come up with and understand.
Yeah, it's a good time for that kind of thing. Yeah, and we'll even be trying to do some things like that related to esports. So it's everybody's kind of figured out, okay, during this time of boredom, I have time to do other stuff now. And so that's it'll be nice to see. I think we'll have enough content to as in sports odds and ends, and we as sports fans in general will have enough content to keep us busy throughout all this. So we don't need private islands. We don't need all these other special ideas. We don't need to play baseball in a biodome. Like,
wait, we don't need an island. Shit. Okay, BRB, guys, wrap up the show.
Yeah. Go ahead and sell your private island stocks. Well, maybe don't. Maybe hold on to that and wait for the stocks to go back up. But
I mean, Dana White will buy it.
I do want to point out one thing. This is a story that we probably should have talked about before. But there, like a lot of the outbreak in Italy and in Spain has been traced to one Champions League match between Atalanta and Valencia, and like 40,000 people attended that game in the middle of kind of at the start of this at the start of when the news really started ramping up their epidemic coverage. Both areas, like both cities that were involved in this game, there's like roughly 4,000 deaths that are being traced to this game. They're like referring to this game as like game zero, as like the event that was a major catalyst for the outbreak in the region. So, right. Obviously like a lot of the plans are, you know, planning to not bring fans to these games, but I mean, it just illustrates the importance to why we're not holding these massive public events, because, you know, just this one incident right there resulted in, you know,
a lot of
people getting sick and then a lot of people dying from this. So, sports is great, but sports isn't worth that. So thankfully everybody's been taking this seriously so far. Thank you for all of you guys for taking this seriously and for continuing to listen to Sports Odds and Ends. Head on over to sportsoddsandends.com for links to the show notes, all of these stories. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at JVZ, Kaz is at King Kaz, DJM is at Call Me DJM. Thank you to all of the patrons who have continued supporting the show throughout the sports apocalypse. We'll have some more content down the pipe for you guys. Thank you all for all of this and continuing to wash your hands, stay safe. We'll see you guys next time.